Okay.
It's a good story.
Okay. Can we both say? Okay. There is a tshuva from the Maram Shik. On page 15. There's a tshuva from the Maram Shik. So look what he writes. Maram Shik is a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. There's a tshuva we're going to see from the Chasam Sofer. But let's start with Maram Shik. Then we'll go to the Chasam Sofer. He says, Mechtav Chakibalti, there was one of his Talmidim, who's an Av Bezdin, he leaves out the name, he leaves out the city. You'll see why in a second. Why he leaves out the Talmud's name, and why he leaves out the Kehila that the Talmud was the Rav of. He says, Mechtav Chakibalti, Hashem Yichazka, V'yishlako Refuah Shleima M'mheira. Bracha v'atzlacha b'chol yanecha v'eretz kaim v'anoim r'isador. Hine mashata shoel shepritzei ha'am asher b'kol ploni arata. He says the people in the kahal, he calls them pritzei ha'am. So that's not a compliment. Pritzei ha'am asher b'kol ploni arata. Till now hayu chanuseim segurim b'shabbos kodesh. That they would close their stores on Shabbos. V'ata ezer rishoyim shalchu yad laharos be'ezes noshim dover hamatzik bein ezes noshim le'ezes anoshim. So he says, some people in the community, he calls them rishoyim, want to take away the mechitza between the women's section and the men's section. Shalote sogor legamre b'krushim. Rak b'amudim. In other words, krushim are what? Boards. Amudim is what? Yeah, so in other words, if you have pillars, then that means you have one pillar, then there's a space. You can see through. If you have boards, like Chazon Hesed said, you won't be able to see through. So they want to change the mechitza from boards to sticks, the pillars. Meaning they want to make it a see-through mechitza. V'yuchu l'uro z'laras. Rebbe Omer, asher bezes Hashem yitzbach b'yad ha'chazaka uchol l'uchom k'negdom. V'rabim Omerim. So then that many say that, you know, the rabbi should fight against them. And don't let them do this. V'arishoyim omrim. But the Rishoyim say that if you don't let us have the mechitza we want, sheyifreshu atzmem yakol v'techiv yiftechu chanusam. He says, if you don't listen to us, we will stop coming and we will start opening up our stores on Shabbos. If you don't, yeah, blackmail, right. So what do you say? So, and then, you know, when we talk kach, nekel hadover shagam acherim michalu Shabbos kodesh. And then once these people start opening the stores on Shabbos, that could cause other people. So it could be a domino effect that could have. So maybe the question is, should they give in? And so he's asking the Maram Shik. In other words, this Rav is a Talmud of the Maram Shik. and he's asking his Rebbe for Eitza what to do here. That's why, I assume that's why they don't put in the name, they don't put in the name of the community, because he's saying a lot of not complimentary things about the people in this community. So they leave it anonymous, who it was. They don't even write the Rav's name, because I guess maybe someone could figure out who the community is based on the Rav. So he leaves out, when he printed the Tshuva and the Sefer, he leaves it out. You see, look at the Tshuva Ayin Vav. He says, he told you who he's writing the letter to. It's a different Tshuva. See, so it's not like he leaves out names of, but usually the names are there. But in this case, he left it out. Like in Igros Moshe, all the names are there of the people that are asking the shaylos. So he says, what's Halitayel Rosh of Yomus? Where is that Gemara? Halitayel Rosh of Yomus is a Gemara where? It's a pasuk, but where is the Gemara? In the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, Beruba. What's the case? The case is like this. There were people that would come into people's backyards and steal fruit. So they got them. They steal fruit. So the tzinuim, these tzaddikim, what would they do? So the problem is these people stole fruit, right? It's not only stole fruit, there was no trumas and maisis taken off from the fruit. So what do we say? One attitude is, so the tzinuim would be mafrish. So this way, at least the ganovim, when they eat it, they won't be eating what? Tevel. The other attitude is no. Haliteo, where's Haliteo? I mean, feed the Russian, he should die. Meaning, this guy is stealing my... So I have to worry that he's... You know, he's a ganov. He's coming to my field and stealing the fruit. So, you know, let him... Whatever. Right, so that's the discussion in the Gemara Bava Kamma. Should you be mafrish, not mafrish? The tznuim, the big tzaddikim, they were, you know, mavater. Okay, he stole, but at least let me care about him, that he shouldn't at least be eating tevel. And the other attitude is no, haliteu l'rosh aviyomus. The guy's doing he's coming into my backyard, he's stealing my fruit, I have to worry about him. Let him, whatever. So he's borrowing that phrase from that Gemara in Bava Kamma. Should we say, like, in other words, these people, you know, they don't want to follow what the Rav is saying, and therefore they're threatening, oh, we'll open our stores on Shabbos. So let him open a store on Shabbos, and let him be Mechal Shabbos. You know? What do we say now? Well, the fish gamachem yil bedu v'yil kedu, or say the rabbi reshtam tova shtika. Or should we say no? Maybe just don't get involved. So that's the that was the question. Now his answer is not necessarily the answer of that the modern person wants to hear. But the answer is, Inechalila lachem lahakshira lishtok. He said, no, you can't be quiet. Al das hapritzos sh'osu ha'atzrufim ha'em. Ki midina anu b'chiyovim la'asos hefsek ben ezros ha'noshim le'ezros noshim. Kimo sh'hayo be'beis ha'mikdash. Ezros noshim l'chud ve'ezros ha'noshim l'chud. So he's writing here that the idea of mechitza is dumya de'beis ha'mikdash. Dumya de Beis HaMikdash. That's sort of what Rav Shechter said, that the idea is that when you're outside the Beis HaMikdash, when you're outside the shul, so then you just have to worry about the Yalkut Shimoni, about the four Amos. And when you're in shul, so then you have to have a real mechitza, so it's like a different rishus, maybe, you know, sort of like Rav Henkin was saying, that maybe it has to be maflig rishus, maybe it should be something that's taka, you know, because Ezra's Noshim and Ezra's Noshim, what was it? It was a different rishus. How do I know? What? Well, high up was when? When was high up? Simchas Beis Shoeva. But what was it the rest of the year? What? Sure they did. What? Right. So there was what? What was there? 15 steps. Shir HaMalos. It was 15 Shir HaMalos. 15 steps. So 15 steps is like a different Rishus, right? If you're going from one area to another area, I mean, 10 Tfachim high could be a different Rishus. Here, they're like 15 steps above. One second. But not when the Noshim were there. So it's 15 steps. So it was like a different... So the question is, you see, he's saying, so the mechitza is dubia, but it's hard to know, like, was that a halacha that we learned from the Beis HaMikdash? That you have to have a different rishus, or maybe it's just enough just to have a different area. This is designated for the men, this is designated for the women. There's no yalfusa in the Gemara that says, minayin lebeis knesses, shetei tzricha. We, you know, so one could say it's like a given, or maybe not. But he's saying it's dumya the Beis HaMikdash. Mamela, he says, therefore he says, he writes Medina. He says it's not like a chumra, it's Medina. So that was the rest of the year. Also, and by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they meant even further. They put the woman upstairs. But the rest of the year, there's also a separation. You know, the 15 steps. So therefore, he takes the hardline approach. He says, and he writes, Sarah Klaus says, Tikkun Shelo Yiru Anoshim Lanoshim. It's interesting. The people over there, it's so interesting. We're not looking for mixed seating. Right? That wasn't, it was a question of the difference between a non-see-through mechitza and a see-through mechitza. It was still going to be separate pews. And FLP came. There was, his approach is, you know, the approach that, you know, what later the Satma Rebbe followed, and that it's then in Re'ia, and if it's not Re'ia, then if you can see through, then it's no good, and that's an approach that people have. I remember many years ago. Many years ago, I was walking the Rosh Hashiva of Keren B'Yavne. I was walking him in Brooklyn. I was the one he had a tish Friday night, and then he had to speak somewhere on Shabbos morning, and so they needed somebody to come like 8 o'clock in the morning and meet him and then walk with him to wherever he was speaking. We've got all the details of that. So I was the one who somehow got elected so we walked. So on the way we were walking, we passed a certain shul in the neighborhood. And he said to me, this whole conversation took place in Hebrew. He didn't speak so much English. He said, this big Knesset, Asur Litpalel Shama. Because apparently he had davened there, they took him there Friday night. So he said, Asur Litpalel Shama. So I said, why? Because, so he said, basically the shul was a glass top mechitza. Where you could see through. It was a mechitza, it's an orthodox shul. But you know, you have to realize the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal was coming from a community
where, you know, he was a, you know, born in Meir Sharim, Yerushalayim. He was not part of the modern community. The Chiddush was that he was the one that the Hashkocha had it that should start to be the first Hesder Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he was the one who basically took people from modern Orthodox backgrounds and gave them a certain hadracha in the way that he did. So he ended, but the hardcore Maram Shik people, and that's what the Satmar Rebbe followed, because the Satmar Rebbe, you know, everyone considered themselves from that world a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. And the Maram Shik is a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, and Satmar, they follow the Chasam Sofer, you know, so that became their, so that approach. So Mamela, he wasn't willing to, well, let me just finish and then I'll take questions. Okay, he wasn't willing to say otherwise. In contrast to the Sri Deish, Rabbi Kolbe pointed out to me this is true of the Sri Deish. The Sri Deish quotes I was close with the late Rabbi Farber, Rabbi Avraham Moshe Farber, lived on the west side, and he was a Rebbe in Breuers, so he was a Talmud of the Sri Deish, and he passed away this summer, but his brother is still alive. He has two brothers, one brother that lives in the west side, so at the Malava Malka for Rabbi Vorher in the shul, we sit next to each other on the dais, so we got the shmooze. So I asked him, did he also learn by the Sri Deish? So he said, yeah. He said, my brother, Avraham Moshe, learned 7 years by the Sri Deish. I learned only 5 years by the Sri Deish. But he feels, so I was talking to him about the Sri Deish, he feels like people want to make him out to be more modern than he was. I don't know. But Lamaisa, he was the one that basically is writing this tshuva to say that in the Machlokes, Rav Moshe, the Satmar Rebbe, he favors Rav Moshe's approach. He favors Rav Moshe's approach. Here, page 22, he writes, Gover Shir Gover HaMechitza Nolda Machlokes BaAmerica. So he's where? In Paris, in Switzerland. And he's saying, you know, about Mechitza, it's a Machlokes in America, on page 22 with the arrow, between Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe. Rav Moshe says, Yudches Tvachim L'mata Mekseifayim, a little around shoulder height, and he doesn't care about being able to, even though you can be able to see each other, still Mutter. Who connect, though, was the Satmar Rebbe and all the Hungarian Rabbanim that acid such a machitza. So he writes, Li near Yosef Divrei HaGaon Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he thinks that Rav Moshe's approach, he
is that only in America though?
Okay. So he says, the Rambanim from Hungary on page 23 is very machmir. And if it's not going to be above the heads, it's no good. And he says, if the shul doesn't have such a mechitza, you can't daven it. And the woman shouldn't come. It's better if the woman stay home. But he says that he thinks they also have good kavana. But he says, "Bismaneinu." He thinks the Shnanu Hatvayim Anoshim Him Toshanu Bevayis V'Motavonu Beis Knesses Tichkach Mehem Torah Sayadus L'Gamri. That is, he thinks that it's important that women should come to shul in his time. So he thinks, you know, he's willing to say that, you know, and he's mitzadid like Rav Moshe. So different communities for different people, you know, at different times. You know, most people have, you know, a one-sided approach. They'll, it's either my way or the highway. But he's saying that he respects both views, even though he even likes Rav Moshe. But the Hungarian approach was that, no, this is a departure from the Masorah, and therefore anytime you have any mechitza, so that's what Rav Goldbach Zatzal was coming from, that school of thought. He grew up, there's no such thing as a shul with glass, you can see the, you know, it was a totally foreign thing. See, in our day and age, people are born into a community, so they don't see in both sides, both the modern and the Hasidim are, you know, very few people that could see the whole picture, you know. So the Sridei Eish was able to see the whole picture of, to say that that both Shitas have their validity, you know, that on one hand he respects the Tznius of the Hungarian community, but he still feels that that Mikra Din, you know, what Rav Moshe says, has validity. But those that are following their strict Masorah of Hungary, you know, they say not that way. Yeah, like Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt said to me, he was afraid that the modern community shouldn't disenfranchise from, you know, the Torah community. Meaning, basically, the modern community shouldn't become part of the conservative movement. And they should stay, so he wanted to keep them in the, so he realized that if they're not going to have something that could still be considered halakhically valid. Obviously, if he felt it wasn't halakhically valid in the end, he wouldn't have written the tshuva. But he wanted to, instead of just saying, you know, these people are, you know, just let them politeu l'rasha v'yamus, and so what? Let them join the conservative. If already they're not having a mechitza that you can't see through, so might as well just have mixed seating and let them go to a conservative. So he didn't take that. He didn't take that attitude. Maybe other people might take that attitude, but he didn't take that attitude. So that basically kept modern orthodoxy in the realm of halacha. Because if they would say that we're rejected anyway, so then why do they need to get gittin? Why do they need to get, you know, all these things that define a halachic observant Jew? Rav Shik says, no, it's wrong.
Rav Shik said, don't black, try to black on me, you have to open your store, don't push my arm.
Right, yeah, in other words, we shouldn't just be Shev Al Tasa, we have to fight and to make sure that the mechitza is...
Even if it's going to prevent Kilo Shabbos.
Right, even if it's going to prevent Kilo Shabbos. Even if it means that these people now will go and open their stores in Shabbos, and maybe that'll cause other people... Huh? So be it. Haliteo, he said, you can't worry, because he feels there's no key of Arvis for that. So that's what the Maram Chick's saying. If these people are threatening that if we don't, if they want, they want to have a mechitza, a see-through mechitza, and they said if we don't get the see-through mechitza, we can open up our stores in Shabbos. So Maram Chick says, okay, so let them do it. Bye.
So he was not willing to.
Right.
Now,
you could be, as we'll see when we're in the packet four with Rav Aaron Cutler writes, he doesn't think this machlokus between the tshuva of the Perish Mishnayis, and he thinks it's all the same. It's Arvis, Mistaklus. If you can see, that's also his Arvis, he thinks. He doesn't buy this idea, Rav Aaron Cutler, that this machlokus between the Rambam and the, you know, what we mentioned yesterday. He doesn't buy that that's such a thing exists.
They say the entire modern belt having it below, having it seeable, is all because of the tshuva of Rav Moshe.
Well, he gave the stamp of approval.
Right, but it's much lower in all the shuls around here, right? It's not shoulder height. Hell, if I have a shoulder height, it's not.
Yeah, so then it's hard to say, is that, you know, is like, yeah, like.
As someone said,
like,
someone
is it?
Said,
it's not next to. is that an exact size? You know, it's not like, you know, we learn Hilchos Mida, so the Chasam Sofer says the meal tztaka, but he's looking for a shear of gris. It's an exact size gris. He harbe tirchos para today to get this shear of a gris. It's hard to say, like Rav Shechter was once talking about, you know, Rabbi Eisenman pointed out from Rav Shechter, he was questioning, you know, the exact shear. Because it's hard to say, you know, Yuches Tfachim Halachol Mosem Yishinai, that that's the shear of a Mechitz and Shul. Because, you know, okay, that's what he felt, is the general idea. Does that mean that if it's a little bit lower, you know, that it's within...
It's not Machlokas, like, what size of a Shechter is looking fine, but like, this is pretty low. I mean, you have machitzos that are this tall, right? And nobody would say that a tefach is half an inch, right?
Right. Unless you say that... Well, we'll see.
Okay.
I mentioned that stira, but can we use the swara, like, when we had the Magen Avraham, who, like, on the Tosefta, we said, like, that might not be his opinion, he's just a clear Tosefta. I don't know if this is a Rambam, but he goes to Mishnah, he's just explaining that the Mishnah system is being...
Right. In other words, the Peirush Mishnayos is not a halakhic. Right. In other words, but Rav Aryeh Kotler claims that there's no difference between his Hisarvus and his Hisstaklus. It's all the same.
L'chumra,
meaning he's saying that the Rambam even his Hisarvus, but his Hisstaklus is included in his Hisarvus. Yeah, maybe meaning just don't look. Right, doesn't mean... Right. Okay, what he's saying, what Ruby's saying is that, in other words, who says that the... In other words, maybe the halacha is just you don't look. Not that that you have to have a wall that will prevent you from looking. Unless you say that the natural tendency of a person, you know, if you're sitting in a place for 2-3 hours... You know, people mind. They you know, look around, you know. Right. Yeah. Right. And then also we have to see also, like, where does this apply to? Does it apply only to shul? What if you're just having... Because we see that they learned out from Hespet. That's where the source is. So that's nothing to do with the din of davening. So then, what about chasana? And what about so all these things are okay. So today, what I wanted to show you is that Maram Shik, and contrast it with the Sri Deish. We still didn't finish. Have to show you the Chasam Sofer and others. We still have to finish this packet. I might just give the also for you to look in the morning to the next packet, even though I didn't finish this packet yet. But tomorrow, cheer, we'll finish off this packet, and I'll give you. There's still a lot more to say, but Maram Shik is always the schmack to look at the Maram Shik to see what he has to say. And then I'm going to show you. There's more to say. There's a lot more to say. So we're just getting our feet wet. Okay.